What we're looking at here is we're looking at Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 11. We've been covering the doctrines here, Romans 9, 10, and 11, and we're looking at the whole issues there of how Israel tried, the unbelieving remnant, tried to seek it by works. And you had a believing remnant, which started by faith. Then, as you're going to see, Paul says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." And Paul is giving education here to what happened to Israel. And not just what happened to unbelieving Israel, but what happened to believing Israel. And that there is an election, and the election has obtained it by faith. The election, the elected remnant of Israel. And we've seen that over in Romans 9 and 10. About how they stumbled and things of that nature. But turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And what we're going to do is pick it up in, let's come to verse, Romans 11 here. Let's go to verse, let's go to verse 7. Romans 11, let's go to verse 7. "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election have obtained it, and the rest were blinded, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears they should not hear, unto this day. And David saith, Let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, or to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them, of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness?" Now, when you're looking at these verses, you're pretty much see a lot contained right at the outset of what you see. All you pretty much can see at the, just the surface there is that, okay, you have some of Israel was justified, some of them were blinded, they stumbled. When they stumbled, things came over to the Gentiles, and that's what you see here, but there's a lot more contained here than only that at the surface there. And as you see, let's go back up to verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Now, you were giving the reason why. Paul gives us the reason why, that they didn't obtain it. Because that's why it says, what then? And that's all for into this third chapter here, you're being told what happened to Israel. Why didn't they obtain it? Now you have Paul summing it up and saying, what then? Hath Israel have not attained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded? And what were they trying to obtain? They were trying to obtain the righteousness of God. But they were trying to do it by works instead of by faith. And verse 8, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear unto this day. Now, when most people see that, they'll say, oh, so God actually, that's not fair. God, he caused them to trip. He caused them to have eyes that they should not see, and he caused them to have ears they should not hear. Well, that's not their fault, but that's not what's being said. We ourselves can do certain things and be our own worst enemy. We can do things whereas we can not get out of the way of ourselves. And this is what you see Israel had done. They've done it to themselves. But then you say, well, why does it say God gave it to them? Well, the same reason why Jesus Christ is called the stumbling stone or the rock of offense. It's not that he, Jesus Christ, seen these guys coming and made them trip over him or something like that, or the rock of offense when they were offended by him, that he caught, did something to cause them to be. And this is not even saying here that God actually made this happen. But when it says God has given them the spirit of slumber, when God put this before them, the rock, the stone, Jesus Christ, that foundation, that tried stone, when he put that before them, they stumbled over it. And he put it over for them to accept it the same way the others accepted it. He put this before them. He gave them the righteousness of God to accept, and they didn't accept it. So in a sense, that's why it says God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see. Not in the sense of it's his own doing so they can trip up, but because he gave it to them and they tripped over it, it can be looked upon as what someone gave someone. And it happens all the time. But actually, they did this to themselves. And let's take a look at a couple of verses here that spells this out. Just hold your place there. Hold your place there in Romans 11. We're going to look at this issue about the spirit of slumber and eyes that they should not see and ears they should not hear unto this day. Go on to Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. And let's look at verse 19. Verse 19. And it shall come to pass when ye shall say, wherefore doeth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Then shalt thou answer them, like as ye have forsaken me, and served strange gods in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in the land that is not yours. Now, I'm going to stop there, but here in Jeremiah 5, you see here in verse 19, it's saying, when they shall say, this is Israel. That's why it says, wherefore doeth the Lord our God all these things unto us? See, and that's just an example of what's being said about God has given them the ears of eyes of slumber and things like that, the spirit of slumber, and eyes they can't see and ears they cannot hear. And God's doing these things unto Israel. He's given them those five courses of punishments, but they brought it on themselves. It's not that they were being obedient saints or something like that, and God said, well, here you go, and punishing them for no reason. No, they did it to themselves. And like it says here, that shalt thou answer them, like as ye have forsaken me, and serve strange gods in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in the land that is not yours. And see, that's it, because they serve strange gods in the land that God gave them. And that's why God says, you're going to have to serve strangers in a land that's not yours now because of what you did. Look at verse 20. Declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people, without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. That's what you see taking place here. You see what's being said is that now this is what's going on with the people. They're called foolish people because they have no understanding. There's some that have understanding. Jeremiah had understanding. Many of the people in Israel had understanding. But for the most part, most of them didn't. They were part of that foolish people. They didn't have any understanding. They didn't have God's understanding. In other words, they have eyes, but they don't see. Ears, they don't hear. Let's look at another situation where this declaration is taking place and given over to them. Come over to Acts chapter 7. And again, we're looking at what Paul said over there when he says that in Romans 11, God giving them a spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears they should not hear unto this day. Acts chapter 7, I know you all are familiar with this in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, let's look at verse 51. Acts 7, verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them, which show before the coming of the just one, whom ye have now been betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels, and have not kept it. Now we see what's taking place here in Acts chapter 7. This is when Stephen was given a testimony unto unbelieving Israel. He was given a testimony unto unbelieving Israel because God offered them another chance of forbearance and mercy. For a whole year, Israel went out to preach repentance unto Israel again after they had crucified the Lord and Savior. And at this time here, you see, now this is where the program gets ready to be changed at. You see, Stephen is going to get stoned, and now salvation is going to come unto the Gentiles. And what Stephen is saying here, he says the same thing in verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. And the Holy Ghost, the Word of God. God's Word has always been given to them. They killed the prophets, as verse 52 says. And then they killed all the ones that brought forth that Word of God, the Holy Ghost's ministry onto mankind concerning the just one, the Lord and Savior. Now come over to Acts 28. Come over to Acts 28. And again, we're looking at the whole issue here in Romans chapter 11 about eyes that they should not see, ears they should not hear unto this day. Acts 28, let's look at verse 24. And I'm going to give you a little understanding of what's going on there. We have Paul standing before the council. We have him standing before Agrippa and the other rulers there. And he's given a testimony, and he's speaking unto them about the just one, about Jesus Christ. He's trying to give them the gospel there. And in verse 24, Acts 28, verse 24, it says, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah, the prophet, unto our fathers, that's Isaiah, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should not see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I shall heal them. Now you see, Paul is giving a more detailed description of what we've actually read in the Old Testament there. And what he's saying is that their heart of the people is waxed gross. And as you've seen in Romans 11, it said, God has given them a spirit of slumber. And the spirit of slumber is the same thing as the heart is waxed gross. Because that spirit is the spirit is the inner man. That's small case S in Romans chapter 11. Spirit of slumber. And their heart is waxed gross. And what that's saying is their inner man is just, when something is waxed gross, and you know what the terminology is, that something is waxed or something can, what that is, it's not doing anything, and gross, that's dealing with gross in a weight. Okay? We deal with things of gross weight a lot, in other words. So that's what you see there. Then it says their ears are dull of hearing. In other words, the word has been coming to them, and it's so, when something gets dull, it gets tiresome, boring of hearing. And that's what happened with this. Their eyes, they have closed. They're able to see it, but they close their own eyes, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and shall be converted. Now, come back to Romans chapter 11. Come back to Romans chapter 11. As you see, the declaration that Paul made unto these Israelites here is that just as their fathers has always done this, they've done the same thing. This is why they have stumbled. This is why they stumbled and that they fell. And it wasn't God doing this unto them. They did it to themselves. And let's look at verse 8 again. Romans 11, verse 8. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear unto this day. Verse 9, and David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Now let's take a look at that issue there about what David said over in Psalm 69. Let's, matter of fact, turn your Bible to Psalm 69 there. Psalm 69, and let's look at verse 21. Psalm 69, I'll give you a second to get there. Psalm 69, verse 21. Okay. It gave me also gall for my meat. I'm going to tell you what's going on here. This is the Lord and Savior talking here. And he's talking about a time when this is 1,000 years before he's going to be put to death. So before they even knew about crucifixion being done with the Romans. But he's speaking about what's happening here when he's on the cross there and how they responded to him. Verse 21, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Now, when you look at the differences there, now, I should have told you to hold your place at Romans 11. That way you can flip right back to and compare with Psalms 69 there. But as you see here, verse 22, it says, let the table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Now, in comparing this here, now you can come back to Romans 11 if you want to hold your place there, so you can do a comparison. That'll be good too. But come over to back to Romans chapter 11, and let's look at verse 9 again. Now, won't you notice something significant here? Romans 11, verse 9. This says, "Let their table be made a snare." Now, that table. A table is where a person, it's the person's way. It's his way of life. It's his, it's what his, not just the lifestyle, but what he fares in, what his world revolves around, so to speak, what his world revolves around. And because we also know, we've seen the verses where we're told we cannot serve the table of the Lord or the table of devils. In other words, we know that that's talking about the way of the Lord or the way of the devil, of devils. And when it says let their table be made a snare. Now you notice in Psalm 69 when it says, let their table be a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Take a note to that. That which should have been their welfare, or in other words, so they could fare well. And we used to use that terminology all the time, someone faring well. Let it become a trap. And as you see, and a stumbling block in Romans 11, and a recompense unto them. And if what's being said here is that they're going to stumble at their own doing. They're going to be made a fool by what they thought they was going to fare very well in. They're going to stumble over their own doing. They can't get out of their own way here. And now let's look at verse 10 in Romans 11. Let their eyes be darkened that they, that they may not see and bow down their back alway. Now it says bow down their back alway here, but over in Psalm 69, verse 23, it says, let their eyes be darkened that they see not and make their loins continually to shake. Well, those are the two same things. When it says and bow down their back alway, that's what's being done to someone being subjected to someone. Or with they would use that terminology with the slaves, or someone bowing down to someone. But alway, and that means it's being done by force. And that alway means all the way. And in some Bibles, it would say always. And that's the one thing about the excellency of the older English that you find in your King James Bibles. You're going to have a proper pronunciation for the words that we ought to have in here. This should not be changed from all way to always. Because when you do something always, that's the way it's always done. At all times. All the way means there is a beginning to something and an ending to something. And I don't know if you get what I'm saying here, but that's what all way means. It means all the way through to the end. And what you see here is, you see, if this was always, this would mean that Israel always is going to be having their back bowed all the way down, always back down. But that's not the way it is. That's only in this dispensation of Gentile grace that we find this to be the case. That's just during this time. And God sees that there's going to be an end to it when Israel is going to get what they sought for. That kingdom is going to come in. So, and when you compare that with Psalm 69, when it says, and make their loins continually to shake, that's what happens when a person is being bowed down. It's the same situation there. This is the same thing what we see is what's being spoken about there. Now, let's come over to Matthew 23. I want to take a look at something here because I talked about the whole idea about the table, that the table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense onto them. I'll take a look at that whole issue there about it. I said that a table is how they fare, how they their way of life. And I will give you an example of what the Lord gave unto the Pharisees, about the Pharisees here and the scribes. We're in Matthew 23. Matthew 23, let's look at verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, All therefore, whatsoever they bid you to observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say, and do not. I'm going to stop there. You see what's going on. What the Lord is saying here, the Lord is explaining to his apostles, he's saying, be subjective. They're in Moses' seat. They're in an authoritative role there, and you're subjected to it. And in other words, if they say, hey, pay tribute, you pay tribute. If they say you have to give more tithe, then do that also, and whatever, but don't do their works. And we also are subject to this government. But it doesn't mean if they say, okay, well, it's okay for you to, a man to, you know, if they say marijuana is legal, doesn't mean you have to go and smoke it. Not just and for instance there. But again, this is what he says, then ye after the works, for they say and do not. Verse 4, for they blind heavy burdens and grievous to be born and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them one of their fingers. But all of their works, for to be seen of men, they make broad their phalansteries, and they enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues. And there's much more that can be said here about Israel and how they perceive themselves, and they how they perceive their way of life there. And if you get a chance, read Matthew 23 there, and you'll see all of the things that's being spoken about these Pharisees and how they want to how they dress and the type of clothes they love to wear. And they're perceiving themselves as godly, but actually they're not. And let's take a look. Just come down to verse 26, and we'll take a look at a couple of things there. Verse 26: Thou blind Pharisees. Cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye are like unto a whited sculpture, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And this is what we see here being spoken about, that these Pharisees also have a table, that they had a welfare there, and they're stumbling over that stumbling stone, Jesus Christ. They've made themselves a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them own selves. Now come back to Romans chapter 11, and let's take a look at verse 10 here. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, verse 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, and then again, Paul is just, he's summing it up. He's asked another question here. I say then, in other words, I say in view of what we just laid on the table. Have they stumbled that they should fall? In other words, did God just set them up so they can just trip? God knew that they would take the bait, so to speak, that they would no, God forbid. God forbid you to think that. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. You got to remember here, Israel's prophesied kingdom was getting ready to come in. Israel rejected Christ at the cross. Christ offered them another chance of repentance. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God accepted the Lord's plea for his people, and he offered them another chance of repentance. The apostles were sent out to go to the nation for a year and offer them another chance of repentance. They stoned Stephen. They killed the apostle. They killed the other apostle James there in Acts chapter 12, and their kingdom didn't come in. In Acts chapter 7, God put that kingdom on hold. He started a new program where Paul raised Paul up to be a new apostle to the Gentiles. But the thing about it is, the kingdom was, because the kingdom didn't come in, God didn't say, well, you know what? Well, the Gentiles, I'm not giving, they're not going to, they have to wait on Israel to get it right before they can get justified. No. That's not the case. Salvation came onto the Gentiles through their fall instead of through their rise. And as it says here, salvation has come onto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. And we've seen that before, issue about that whole issue about provoking them to jealousy. And you see the declaration that Paul has made many times about that. And let's, you know, again, hold your place there. Come over to Acts chapter 13. Let's look at a couple of places where that took place there, where they're being told that, hey, you guys had it in your grasp. You didn't want it. You denied. We're going to go to the Gentiles. Let's go over to Acts 13. Acts 13. And let's take a look at verse 42. Acts 13, verse 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And what you see here, I'm going to give you a little backdrop of what's going on here. What you see here is Paul and Barnabas is speaking onto the Jews, speaking on the Jews there. And the Jews rejected what was being said. So the next Sabbath, the Gentiles came there. And I'll just pick it up there. Verse 42, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which are spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should have first been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord hath commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was published throughout the whole region. Now you see here, all they had to do was hear the word, and they believed. Just that's how one is justified. That's how one is placed into the body of Christ. That's how one is baptized by the Spirit. Baptized not by water, but baptized by the word. And this is what you see happen here. That's why you see in verse 49, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Now let's take a look at another issue at that about the fact of that there. Let's come over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. And let's take a look at that. And again, we're looking at the issue here about the whole idea about I say then have they stumble, they shall fall, God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now let's go over to sort of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Chapter 14. Let's look at verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. Yet for all of that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serve not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. Now, this is going over the whole issue of the misunderstanding about speaking in tongues or speaking in other languages. And as you see here, this is speaking about, this is a sign of Israel that God has turned away from Israel. And to provoke them to jealousy here. And that's why it says, with men of other tongues, with other lips will I speak unto this people, for yet for all of that will they not hear me. In other words, it's going to take for all of that to get their attention. And it shouldn't be that way. But as we see, that's what took place there. And again, these tongues here, it's not what people say. You know, we see people today and they'll say they speak in tongues. I was talking to a guy at work yesterday and he was asking me about the Holy Ghost and what I thought about the Holy Ghost. And I know what he was getting at there. And I explained to him about the Holy Ghost's ministry and about the Spirit, which is God's Word. And we have that which is perfect now, which is God's complete written Word. And so on and so on, but there's a doctrine out there that has millions of people in confusion, and it's running rampant out there. But that's why we, as ones who understand this truth, have to make sure we're edified, so we can help the others out there that are caught in that snare and that trap that Paul even speaks about there. But now come back to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. I mean, there's many other verses to show about how God was provoking Israel to jealousy there. But let's go over to Romans 11, and let's look at verse 11 again. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, or rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Now, this is saying that you see that it said they stumbled, that they should fall, and fall of them be the diminishing of them. What you see here is, you see that they stumble, then they fell, then they're diminished. That's the actual order in which it happened. And that diminishing of them, that's not saying, again, that God has cast them away, right? That he's totally cast them away. He's temporarily set them aside. Now let's go down to verse 13. For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. And Paul's saying that if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and if the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, he explained to the Gentiles what they have, how much more their fullness, you know, how much more longer. And then Paul's going to Paul's going to speak to the Gentiles here, and we're just going to have a little introduction into this, and we're going to deal more on this next week. But this is the part we're going to pick up next week, verses 12 through, we'll see how far we get, 12 through 15 there. But I'm just going to go through and read it and just highlight on some of the issues there, and then we're going to really deal with it next week there. But and he said here, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of Gentiles, I magnify mine office. And Paul has a reason to say he magnifies his office. He's saying it because he's letting them know that he has the authority to say this, the authority to speak it. And many times over, we see Paul say things like, I speak the truth in Christ and I lie not. Or, God bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, or certain things like that, because this is what he's doing. He's showing his authority there. Now, look at verse 14. If by any means I may provoke to immolation them which are my flesh, I might save some of them. And what he's trying to say is, he's saying that he's, even though he's the apostle of the Gentiles, he still has that heartfelt sorrow that they also be saved, that the ones that are unsaved be saved. He's not making a plea for Peter and the little flock. And he says, verse 15, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? And he's talking about them being cast away. If this has happened, in other words, it's a good trade-off. It's not all lost. There's no great loss there. And as you've seen in verse Romans 11, verse 1, I say then, have God cast away his people? God forbid. For I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. And he says that in view of he's also of that flesh. And that's why he says in verse 13 and 14, he's the apostle of the Gentiles. And if he can provoke to immolation some of them which are of his flesh, his goal is to maybe he can save some of them. And that's Paul's goal there. That's Paul's goal to save some of them there. Now, if you will, let's take a look at a couple of these other issues here about the whole thing here. When Paul's talking about he is the apostle of the Gentiles, I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. And this was something that Paul wanted to make known to these Israelites here that were ones that wanted to seek it by works instead of by faith. And we can see some of the things they did to Paul in the book of Acts, how they set out to kill him because he was speaking about faith and faith alone. He was speaking about Christ being given and for them. And he goes all the way back to Abraham and walks all the way back up to Christ's death there, and that they're responsible for this. But if you will, can you turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 20, sorry. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And I want you to notice what Paul is going to be explaining to the saints there, explaining to the men that's going to be overseers. Let's take a look at that. Acts chapter 20. And let's look at verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that the bonds and the afflictions abide me. And what you see, Paul is going to go to Jerusalem to testify. He's going to testify the Lord Jesus onto the unbelieving remnant. And he knows what's going to happen onto them. Well, he says he doesn't know, but he knows he's going to be, he knows he's going to be bound. He's going to be told later on that he's going to be bound by a prophet. He's going to tell him that. But as he says, he doesn't know what's going to happen to him. But he's going to say later on, even if he loses life, he wants to proclaim the testimony of the Lord there. Now look at verse 24. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now see, this is what Paul is making known here. And I'm going over this because we looked at verse 13 of Romans chapter 11 about when Paul says, "For I speak to ye Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." And that magnifying of his office was him declaring that gospel, the testimony. And when he says and said in verse 14 that he might provoke to immolation them which are my flesh, that he might save some, Paul knew that even if it counted his life. That's why he's going back to Jerusalem here. He's going back to Jerusalem to bear the testimony of the Lord. Verse 25, "And now behold," this is Acts 20, verse 25, "And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shown to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And he's saying he's brought these guys up. He's edified them. He's given them the doctrine where they can go out and teach others and where they can be strengthened. And he says he's not shunned to declare unto all of them the counsel of God. Verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." And he's giving these guys a warning here. He's giving them a warning that they themselves need to take heed and not only watch out for bad doctrine, but their lives might be lost speaking this word here. And that's what we see take place there. But this is some of the things that Paul did here. And we see many times throughout the book of Acts that Paul is one who's being that they're going to persecute him. They're going to persecute him. And let's take a look at Acts 22. Quote Acts 22. Acts 22. And let's look at verse 13. Well, verse 12. "And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having good report of all the Jews, dwelt there, and came unto me, and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour I looked upon him." Now this is what's being said here is when Paul got saved there on the road to Damascus. Paul got saved there. He was called Saul at the time. He got saved. And Paul is replaying this matter before the council there. And he's going to say here, watch what he says in verse 14. "And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see the just one, and should hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. It came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him say unto me, Make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive that testimony concerning me." Now, what you see here is that the Lord is sending Paul out. Paul has that ministry that he's magnifying and be given of God, and that he's going to be a chosen vessel unto the Lord there. But he's going to face that opposition there. And that opposition he's going to face is of the Jews. But Paul's focus there is that he might save some. Now come back to Romans 11, and then we're going to close here. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, let's take a look at, come back to verse 13 again. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. For if by any means I may provoke to immolation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. And we went over this before about what he says, might save some of them. You had a believing remnant of Israel, the justified remnant, and you have the unjustified remnant. The unjustified remnant is the ones that Paul is speaking of here. And we've looked at that all the way from Romans chapter 9, 10, and halfway through Romans 11, where it says that there's a group of them that obtained it and a group that did not obtain it. And this is the group that Paul is talking about there. And let's look at verse 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? And then later on you're going to see about the fruits and the tree, the example that Paul is giving from Romans 6, 11, 16 down through verse 24. And you're going to see that. But we're going to look at that at another time there. But with that, I'm going to close. I'm open things up for the Q&A session. And if anyone has a question or a comment, please feel free to press star 6-1. We'll get you into the queue. And again, it's essential in understanding Romans through Romans 9, 10, and 11. And not just 9, 10, 11, but the book of Romans, period. Because in the book of Romans, you got four cornerstones and doctrines there that needs to be understood and very essential that we go over this situation. Let me go to the first call here, 3366 in the queue.
Praise God, you're doing, Pastor Ron.
How are you doing there, Sister Teresa? How you been there?
Oh, great, and yourself?
Very well,
yes. Good teaching on Israel and the church, the body of Christ. But my question was, you were saying, I know, in between you were saying about they sought out works. I mean, the Israelites, they sought by going out from the works. But throughout the Bible, in your past teaching on this, I feel mine that you were saying, well, nobody has never been saved by works throughout the Bible, into Gentiles and Israelites. That works can never save nobody in time past, but now in all ages to come. And Israel program or the church of body a program. So if nobody can never ever be saved by works, by being justified for eternal life, then why is works is mentioned in the Bible throughout the Bible? I mean, and why is works mentioned through the Bible?
I'm sorry. Okay.
You understand my question?
Yeah. Yes, I do. Works is mentioned through the Bible because works deals with the sanctification issue. Works is what we bring forth. What we're doing now is good works because we are discussing God's word. We could be doing other things out there, but what we choose to do is we choose to transform our mind and be not conformed to this world. And the works that Israel did according to the law was only for the sanctification. It had nothing to do with their justified standing before the Lord. And how you know that is because it's the works of the law. You can see, Paul says, therefore we can conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And deeds of the law is the works of the law. And also, all you have to do is look at Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, if you look at, you don't have to turn there, but when you look at what's being said there, when the Lord said, if you will hearken unto my voice and do all my commandments and my statutes, then I will bless your land. I will make your crop grow, your and things like that. He didn't say, I'll justify you. He says, if you will not hearken unto me, then I will curse you. He didn't say, I'll send you to hell. Those who, if they did not abide by the law, the penalty for not abiding by that law was not hell. It was punishment. And if and the reward for doing the works of the law was not heaven, was not justification. The reward of doing the law was strictly blessings, earthly blessings.
Okay.
So that's how you can tell that. Yes, so that's how you can tell what the works were there for.
Like what Abraham offered his son, and also we go back to Noah when he built the ark. But if he hadn't built that ark, they would have drowned. So wasn't that building that ark, wasn't that a work? Because if he wouldn't have built it, when they would have drowned?
Yeah, that was a work, but that had to do, he still was justified. And you got to remember when it said they built the ark, there were eight. He said that Noah had a righteous standing. He was a righteous man. He was already justified. Noah was already on justified ground when he built that ark there. He was already redeemed.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he was already redeemed when he built that ark. So when Abraham left his father's house, he was justified before he left his father's house. You know, and when you look at those things, we have to look at what was said before that. And of course, it doesn't give the story before Abraham left his father's house, but it explained that both of the guys were justified. And leaving your father's house or building a boat is not going to justify a man. And so I've heard people say it before, and I used to think that same thing, that, okay, they were justified, but they're justified because of what God told them and whatever God said. But what that does is take the Redeemer out of the equation. That says that God is justifying a man by building a boat, but another man has to trust in Christ. Or another man can leave his father's house to justify him, you know, and so on and so on.
So during what 11 grace, 11 6 in Romans, well, by grace there's no more works, and therefore it's no more grace. So throughout the Bible, through Genesis, always the Revelation, when it proceeded to do work, it was always for sanctification, never ever for justification, eternal life, no matter what dispensation you're in. Correct.
Right. Exactly. And you know this because even like I said, Genesis 6, it talks about Noah. It says, and these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Now, this is before he told him to build a boat, you know, and it says he was a just man. And so even if he didn't build a boat, he would have still been justified. That just wasn't going to be taken away from him because he didn't build a boat. The boat building was works. That was work still was being done. It was his, and a lot of people say, well, that's his faith. That's his faithfulness in works. No, justification. When it says he's just, it's talking about he was already justified. When it says that Abraham was justified in Romans 4, and then it said Abraham was justified over there in James chapter 2, it's two different justifications. One was 30 years after. And you got to remember here that Abraham wasn't justified twice. If that's the case, then he's justified twice because it said he was justified in two different places.
But justification don't always mean eternal life either. It depends on what dispensation is in and what context it's in. They don't mean eternal life all the time, because and use justification down in courthouse stuff. But that doesn't mean our time eternal life. It all depends on the context of where it's coming from, right?
Thank you. Exactly.
Okay.
We can justify ourselves before ourselves. You know, when we want to make ourselves right before someone if we've done something or things like that. So, yes, that's right. It's all about context, and it's all about, especially in the dispensations, too.
Okay.
You know, there's different salvations and there's different justifications. Physical salvations, salvation from suffering, salvation from bad doctrine, just a lot of different things, different words.
Okay. And one more quick little question. The apostles, Paul is our apostle to the Gentiles. The Israel or the Israelites, did they ever have an apostle? I ain't never read
Now, you mean after Christ's death or?
Before Christ's death, the remnant that he was preaching and wasn't saved, the unsaved remnant that's going to be saved, did they ever have apostles throughout the Bible?
Well, they have prophets.
I mean, Israel.
Yeah. Well, Israel had prophets before Christ came. There were prophets sent out to them. John the Baptist was a prophet. After that, Christ's death, you had them going out, the apostles going out, and now they have witness of the apostles through doctrine right now. That's what they will have when we're raptured out of here. They will have the witness of the prophets and apostles to hold in their hands, and they'll never have other prophets going back out to them in that day.
Oh, okay. This question. Okay, then I'm learning much about this message you're teaching. Although you keep teaching, I keep listening, keep learning. I appreciate teaching, Pastor Ron. Have a good day.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Okay, *61 will get you into the queue. *61 will get you into the queue. And again, we're going over the doctrines here. Romans 9, 10, 11 is essential to understand what happened to Israel, why they fell or they've been temporarily set aside, and about the mystery that we're going to be taking a look at later on the next couple weeks there. But it's essential understanding this and understanding what happened to them. And we're going to get back into the whole issue of the adoption of sons in Romans 12 and things of that nature. But with that, I'm going to close and I want to thank everyone.